अव्यक्तस्य प्रमेयस्य अव्यक्तस्य प्रमेयस्य नानाशक्ति उदायस्य च नानाशक्ति उदयस्य च न वै चिकीर्षितं तात न वै चिकीर्षितं तात को वेदाथ स्वसंभवम् को वेदाथ स्वसंभवम् अव्यक्तस्य of the unmanifested aprameyasya of the transcendence nana various shakti energies udayasya of him who gives rise to cha also Na, never. Vai, certainly. Chikirshitam, the plan. Tata, my dear boy. Ka, who? Veda, can know. Atha, therefore. Swa, own. Sambhavam, origin. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. The absolute truth, the transcendence, is never subject to the understanding of the imperfect sensory endeavor, nor is he subject to direct experience. He is the master of varieties of energies, like the full material energy, and no one can understand him, his plans or actions. Therefore, it is to be concluded that although he is the original cause of all causes, no one can know him by mental speculation. Please repeat the translation. The absolute truth, the transcendence, is never subject to the understanding of him. Is never subject to the understanding of.
Is never subject to the understanding of
imperfect sensory endeavor.
Imperfect sensory endeavor.
Nor is he subject to direct experience.
Nor is he subject to direct experience.
He is the master of varieties of energies.
He is master of varieties of energies.
Like the full material energy.
And
no one can understand his plan or actions. Therefore, it is to be concluded that although he is the original cause of all causes, no one can know him by mental speculation. Purport. The question may be raised, since there are so many varieties of philosophers theorizing the different ways, which of them is correct? The answer is that the absolute truth, transcendence, is never subject to direct experience or mental speculation. The mental speculation may be called a Dr. Frog. The story is that the frog is a frog in the 3-foot well wanted to calculate the length and the breadth of the Atlantic Ocean on the basis of his knowledge of his own well. But it was the impossible task of the Dr. Frog. A person may be a great academic scholar or professor, But he cannot speculate the except to understand the absolute truth, for his senses are limited. The cause of all causes, the absolute truth, can be known from the absolute truth himself, and not by our ascending process to reach him. When the sun is not visible at night, when it is covered by the cloud in the day, it is not possible to uncover it, either by bodily or mental strength, or by scientific measurement. Although the sun is there in the sky, no one can say that he has discovered a torchlight so powerful that if one goes on the roof and focuses the torchlight on the sunlight, the sun will then be seen. There is no such as torchlight, nor it is possible. The word abhyakta, or unmanifested, in this verse indicates that the absolute truth cannot be manifested by any strain of so-called scientific advancement of knowledge. Transcendence is not the subject matter of direct experience. The absolute truth may be known in the same way as the sun covered by the cloud or the cover at night, by night. For when the sun rises in the morning, in its own way, then everyone can see the sun. Everyone can see the world. Everyone can see himself. This understanding of self-realization is called Atma-tattva. Unless, however, one comes to this point of understanding the Atma-tattva, one remains in the darkness in which he was born. Under the circumstances, no one can understand the plan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is equipped with varieties of energies, as stated in the Vedic literature, Parasya Shaktir Vivadeva Sruyate. He is equipped with energies of eternal time. Not only does he have a material energy which we can see and experience, but he also has many reserved energies that he can manifest in due course of time when it's necessary. The material scientists can simply study the partial understanding of the varieties of energy. He can take up energies and try to understand it with limited knowledge. But still, it is not possible to understand the absolute truth in full by dint of material science. No material science can foretell that what is going to happen in the future. The bhakti yoga process, however, is completely different from so-called scientific advancement of knowledge. A devotee is completely surrendered unto the Supreme, who reveals himself by the causeless mercy. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam, the Lord says, I give him intelligence. What is the intelligence? Yena mam upayantite. The Lord gives one intelligence to cross over the ocean of nations and come back to Godhead. In conclusion, the cause of all causes, the absolute truth or the Supreme Brahman, cannot be understood by philosophical speculation. But he reveals himself to his devotees because the devotees are fully surrendered unto his lotus feet. Bhagavad Gita is therefore to be accepted as a revealed scripture spoken by the Absolute Truth himself. When he descends to this planet, If any intelligent man wants to know the God, who God is, what God is, he should study the transcendental literature under the guidance of bona fide spiritual master. Then it is very easy to understand Krishna as he is. Om jnana timirantasya jnanam jana salakaya chakshur militam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padikamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavam Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Itam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Visakam Itam Sajivam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchani Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishalhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kalpaturu Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vevacha Tatanam Pavane Bhyo Vaisna Bhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna. For my own purification, for the blessings of the Vaishnavas, so we'll start, attempt to discuss Srimad Bhagavatam. So we hear, continuing to hear the pastimes of Guru Maharaj. At this particular point, Swayambhu Manu has come to Guru Maharaj, and he is instructing him. He's in fact advising him to stop killing the yakshas. These yakshas who happen to be one of the yaksha happened to kill his brother Uttama. So in retaliation for that cause, Dhruva Maharaj was killing so many yakshas unnecessarily. So to stop him killing these yakshas, Swayambhu Manu comes to Dhruva Maharaj and instructs and advises him to stop killing. So these are the verses, they are spoken by Swayambhu Manu to Dhruva Maharaj. So the point Swayambhu Manu is making to Dhruva Maharaj that he is not the controller. And the controller is the Supreme Lord. Therefore, everything that happens, that goes on by the desire of the Supreme Lord, therefore, you should stop killing these. See what this is. So in this particular in continuation of his glorifying the Lord, how he is the supreme, how he is powerful, how he maintains and creates the universe. That in that sense, the Swayambhu Manu is glorifying the Lord. As we hear it, the Swayambhu Manu makes a point that the Supreme Lord is the cause of all causes, as the word this guy Sambhava origin. Krishna is the origin of everything. He also says that he has multifarious energies. Through his energies, he maintains, creates, and annihilates this whole cosmic manifestation. So just on those material energies, what are the material energies that actually Lord created? Starting with five elements? Okay, who can tell? Yes, I agree.
Water, fire, air, ether. Yes.
So they are the Panchamata Mahabhuta, Shakti, energy. In this verse, Swayambhu Manu mentioned the word Shakti, the Krishna's, the Lord's Shakti. So these are five, earth, water, fire, air and ether. They are the Panchamahabhutas, the Shakti of the Lord. So then also he has, there are altogether quite a few, I mean the five working, five knowledge acquiring senses, five sense objects, five working senses, and the subtle energies, false ego, intelligence, mind, time, three modes. These are all material energy. Everything we see, everything is manifested, we are able to visually see, we are able to perceive, is the combination of these energies. And there are the energy, the spiritual elements of the energy, which is the soul and super soul. So combine of all these energies is the total pradhana or mahatattva. So so combination, this is the combination of these elements is called universe. And as we know, the Jason Earth itself is a fairly large element, I mean the planet, you can see it's quite vast. And I was just searching, a quick search on the how big is the universe. And Lord Brahma gives the information in the third canto, we find this information, that the size of the universe is 50 billion miles in diameter. That's in the third canto, chapter 11, text number 14. This is given. The size of the universe is 50 billion miles in diameter. So this is, sorry?
How good is
that? That's his big. That's his super big. So, and this is just a one universe. Brahma gives us information. In Brahma Samhita, he says, Yasya prabha prabhavato jagadanda koti koti su. Jagat means the universe. Anda is how the shape of the universe is like a egg. What's the number he gives? Koti koti su. One koti is about 10 million. And he says koti koti su. He's not even just putting a one figure there saying, okay, this is it, this is number. He says unlimited. That is it. So, yasya prabha prabhavato jagadanda koti koti svasesa asesa vasudha adi vibhuti vinnam. Like this planet we see, vasudha is the planet, earth is referring to. There are asesa, the endless numbers. Vibhuti vinnam, vibhuti is referring to opulence. Bhinna means the separated energy. This is the energy. Tat Brahma Niskalam Ananta Asesa Bhutam Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. See how the great Buddha, the Lord is? Another verse also in same in Brahma Samhita, Brahma also refers to as in text ekopi saurachitam jagadanta kotim yat sakstirasti yat sakti asti jagadanta chayayadanta andantarasta paramanu chayayadanta govinda nadi purusham tamaham vajami. So he creates these universes. Not only creates such a vast, the big, and there's the large universes, but he also enters into each of them. Not only enters into the universe, also enters into paramanu. Paramanu is referred to every atom. See how the Lord's energy, he's creating, he's maintaining, he's going in, he enters into each universe as God of that Sai Vishnu, and he enters into each of the atoms as a Sri Daksha Vishnu or Paramatma. And Sri Prabhupada brings out the point, our modern scientists are trying to understand this, the vastness, the greatness of the Supreme Lord through their little tiny brains, tiny the intelligence we have, very limited. Even Swayambhu mentions here, what he says here, the absolute truth, transcendent, is never subject to understanding of imperfect sensory endeavor. So our scientists with the imperfect senses or sensory intelligence, trying to understand this great supreme, trying to understand the personality of Godhead. So Prabhupada gives a very good analogy or example. It's Dr. Frog. Early days in our ISKCON, actually, this was very popular. Drama we used to do. It was a Dr. Frog and a boatman and a scholar. So Dr. Frog is living, as Prabhupada says, he's living in his well, tiny 3 feet wide well, and trying to understand the greatness, the vastness of the ocean. Sorry?
Pacific Ocean.
Pacific Ocean. Prabhupada said Atlantic Ocean in this case. So there are two frogs. One frog is living in the well, another frog is visiting from the Atlantic Ocean to in the well. And in the conversation, the frog in the well asks the friend who came from Atlantic Ocean that, where do you live? He said, oh, I live in the Atlantic Ocean. And then the frog in the well, he says, how big is the well? And then he said, is it this big? He stretches his arm, is it this big? And then it was, nah, it's much bigger than that. Is it bigger than that? And he stretches his arm further. He said, no. And in interim, he's puffing his body, and every time he's going bigger and bigger. And then the maximum he could see, maximum he could understand is that as big as this well? Then the frog from the Atlantic Ocean says, no, it's much larger, much bigger. So finally, to the point that the frog is keep bloating and bloating until the point is blown himself out. So this is the limited understanding we could have. We can't understand how the great supreme Lord is. He's such a so. And Krishna himself in Bhagavad Gita declares that the aham sarvasya prabhavo, everything originates from me. I am the cause. I am the source. Aham sarvasya prabhavo aham sarvasya prabhavo mattah sarva pravartate. So everything emanates from me. It's not it's something else. So Krishna is the creator of all this, the great he is the sarva karana karanam, as Brahma also gives us the in Brahma Samhita, Ishvaraha Paramaha Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karana. It's a Sarva Karana Karana, it's the cause of all causes. And Lord Brahma, he is the creator, he is the highest authority Lord Krishna gives him the understanding, the whole Vedic knowledge of Veda is imparted into Brahma. And what is Brahma's declaration or what is he's telling us about Lord? He says, in saying in Brahma Samhita, Advaitam Achyutam Anadi Anantarupam Adhyam Purana Purusham Navayoganam Cha Vede Suduru Lava Maduru Lava Atma Bhakto Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. He says, Advaitam, Krishna is none to second. There is no one like Krishna. Advaitam means is no one can be or no one's like Lord Krishna, Advaitam. There's no one, no two. No, there's no second God there. So Advaitam. Achyutam. The Lord has a quality that he never falls down from his position. Achyutam. Anadi. He who has no origin. Means no one created God, Anadi. Anadim Anantarupam. He's got unlimited forms. Adhyam. And he is the cause of everything. Everything comes from him. He is the origin. Purana Purusham. He is the original person. Navayovanam cha. And how he is, even though he's old, what is his form like? Navayovanam. He does not get, even his appearance is always in a youth. As a 16-year-old, the maximum, the age, the prime youth of a 16-year-old, that's his form. Even though he's Purana, he's the oldest. Yet he is Navayovanam, he's the ever youth, fresh, youthful person. He says Purusha. He didn't say light, he didn't say he's or something that's he's clearly saying he's a Purana Purusha Navpurusha Navayovanamcha. Vedeshu Durlava. Vedeshu Durlava. He is, by the Vedas, he is Durlava. Durlava means very difficult to understand. Very rare. It cannot be understood. Vedeshu Durlava. Adurlava. Atma Bhakto. He's saying, for the devotees, that Durlava, that difficulty, it's Adurlava. Very easy to understand. So just on this topic of Vedeshu, I was quite curious to know what is Vedas. What we refer so many times as the Vedas, Vedic, Veda, and we should, you know, this knowledge is coming from Veda. So I just had a little, I was trying to understand this myself from my own purification, so I thought I would share with you. So the Vedas, or Vedic knowledge, is they classified in two categories. One is Smriti, other one is Shruti. So Vedas are in two classifications. So Shrutis are that which is heard. The word Shruti refers to what that knowledge which came through the process of hearing. First, Lord Krishna himself gives this Brahma, this knowledge to Lord Brahma. That is through the Tene Brahma Hrida Adikavaya. Krishna imparts this knowledge through the Brahma. Brahma imparts this knowledge through the Parampara, through Narad Vyasa. So, these four Vedas, the Vedas are the Srutis and Smriti. So, let's discuss the Srutis. Srutis are four Vedas, which is Rig, Yajur, Sama, and Atharva Vedas. These are the four Vedas. Now, these Vedas consist of three. There's terms in use is Samhitas, Brahmanas, and Aranyakas. Samhita is dealing with the prayers, the slokas, or the mantras. Brahmanas deals with the rituals and the sacrificial specifications. And Aranyakas deal with the philosophical doctrine. The Aranyakas. So within this, each Vedas, they consist three types of knowledge consists. One is Karmakanda. That is, you do some pious activities, you do this activities, and you'll get the result. This is Karmakanda. And there is a Jnanakanda, which is that deals with the knowledge, the knowing the supreme absolute truth, finding out what is its cause, what is this, so all the Sankhyas and everything, that is in the Jnanakanda. And there is a third one is Upasanakanda, which is deals with how to worship the personality of the Supreme Lord, the worshipping way. So each Vedas consists of these three sections. This consists of these three types of knowledge. And within Shruti, there are also Upanishads. Upanishads are that knowledge which is studied, after studying, it is given, passed on to a disciple. Upa means sit beside. The knowledge which is heard by sitting beside Upanishads. That knowledge is given to a person and that is passed on. So there are 108 Upanishads. Principal Upanishads. Of course, there are many. I think it's about 1,000 is mentioned, but principal Upanishads 108. And so these are the Srutis, which is heard. Now there, the other category was Smriti. So Smritis have a Upavedas. The Upaveda is of course these four Vedas. Everything comes from these four Vedas. The Upavedas are the sub Vedas. You can call it sub the secondary Vedas. They are Dhanurveda. That deals with the warfares. There are Gandharva Vedas, which deals with primarily with the musics there is a Shilpa Veda, which deals with the science of art and architecture. Ayurveda, that deals with the medicines. Atharva Veda or Arthasastra, the science of governing. That deals with that. Vastu Sastra is also the science of the architecture. Bimana Sastra, there is also knowledge of the aircrafts. So these are the Upavedas that get mentioned. And there are also Veda Angas, the limbs of the Vedas. which is Shiksha, which deals with the education. Chanda, chandas are the certain rules to be followed while performing a forming a poetry. Niruktas, the study of the origin of the words and the way in which their meaning have changed through the history. So it's a study of the words and the details of the. And there's Vyakarana, which deals with the grammar, how to the Sanskrit language is Vyakarana. So there's a grammar. Jyotisha, which is the astrology. And Kalpa Sutras, there are rituals which consist of rituals, Dharma Sastra and Griha Sastras. So these are the Veda Angas. And there are also Veda Darshan Shastras, which is Purma Mimamsa, Nyaya, Vaisheshika, Sankhya Yoga, Yoga Sastra and Brahma Sutra. These are the Darshan Sastra or the philosophical or doctrine that consists. And within Smriti there are also 18 Puranas. So Srimad Bhagavatam is one of the 18 Puranas now in trying to find the reference. In the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami gives the name of each of Puranas and also gives the how many verses it consists. So the 18 Purana consists of total in number is 400,000 verses. So this is just a Purana. There are Vedas, Vedangas, Darshan Shastras, and so all this, the point I'm trying to make is when Lord Brahma says Vede Sudurlava, it's so difficult, it's so vast to understand the Lord through the study of the Vedas. It's not possible. Brahma even himself saying it's durlabha. It's very difficult, very rare. How can you understand the Supreme? It's so vast, so great. So this is through the study of the Vedas, he cannot. So what is he saying? He is Atma Bhakto. With the Bhakta means devotional service. Through the devotional service, yes, it is possible. All this knowledge Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, the 15th chapter, Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto matasmritir jnanam apohanam cha vedeshtika sarve vedantakrit vedvit eva chaham. All these Vedas are, I am the creator. This comes from me. I am the owner of the Vedas. And I am to be known. I compile them. I am to be known, and I am through the Vedas, I am to be known. But he says that dhami buddhi yogam tam, I give them understanding. It's only through the mercy of the Lord, when the pure devotee, they can understand through the Vedas, they can understand the complete Vedas. It's a very difficult. Through the yoga process, again, Lord Brahma gives this information in Brahma Samhita. He says, Panthastu koti satavat sarasam pragamyo vayo rathapi manaso manipungavanam sopyasti yat prapadasinya vichinta tatve govindamadi purusham tamaham vajami. Even through the yoga process, he says, koti sata vatsara. Koti again means ten billion is one koti. Koti sata, he says, sata means hundreds. Vatsara, years. You spend koti sata vatsara years in meditation. He said, even though the speed of air, vayu, manaso, even the sphere of the mind, if you even meditate for so many years, these yogis cannot understand even the tiny toenails of the lotus feet of the Lord. He says, prapada sinya. Prapada means the toe, very beginning of the toe of the Lord. Even that they cannot understand through the yoga process. So how can you know the Lord? Atma bhakto. Yeah, through the devotional service. That is the way. And in Sukadeva Goswami, in the 12th canto, he says, Yam Brahma Varunendra Rudra Marutas Stuvanti Dibya Istavai Vede Sangha Padara Padakravo Panisadai Kayantiyam Samagaha Dhyana Vastitata Katena Manasa Paschantiyam Yogina Yasyantam Nabidhu Sura Sura Gana Devaya Tasmai Nama. He gives the greatness of the Supreme. The Supreme Goswami describes Yam Brahma is this, the Brahma, Varuna, Indra, Rudra, Maruta, Stuvanti Dipya Stavai. Stuvanti means praying. How? Dipya, with the great, Dipya means divine. Stavai is those prayers that comes with such a... there's a stotra and there's stava. Stotra refers to those prayers that are given in the Vedas. You can repeat and chant. That's stotra. Stava is that spontaneously these great personalities have spontaneously through the heart prayers. These prayers called stavas. Stavai. No? How are they seeing the glorifying the Lord? Dipya stavai. Dipya means divine. And these prayers are coming from their heart. Who are praying? Brahma, Varuna, Indra, Rudra, Maruta, all these great personalities, they're praying the Lord, the Dipya. Vedai, again, Veda. Sa Anga, with the Angas of the Vedas. Padakrama. Padakrama means is the type of poetry. It's such a eloquent. It's very systematically, beautifully sung. Padakrama, Upanishadai, with also Gayanti Yam Samaga. Those who are singing the Samvedas also glorifying that same personality of Godhead. Dhyana avastita tadgatena manasa paschantiyam yogina. Those yogis who are constantly meditating, who are they meditating on? That same Supreme Lord. With their mind and everything. Yasyantam. Yasya means whose? Anta. Navidu. Cannot know. Who? Sura, Asura Gana. Sura means demigods. Asura means demons. The end, the conclusion, they cannot know even all the demigods. Sura, Asura Gana. Devaya Tasmai Namaha. I pay my obeisances to such a great personality. This is Sukadeva Goswami putting in Srimad Bhagavatam. How great personality is. This is where Swayambhu Manu is glorifying. This is how he's saying, what is he saying? The absolute truth, transcendent, is never subject to the understanding, imperfect sensory knowledge, nor is subject to direct experience. He is the master of varieties of energies, as we spoke, like a full material energies. No one can understand his plans or action. Therefore, it is to be concluded that although he is the origin, cause of all causes, no one can know him by mental speculation. This is where Swayambhu Manu is glorifying. This is how Swayambhu Manu is glorifying. So, in the Lord comes in so many forms for making it easy for us to understand him, making it easy for us to go back to him, because this material world is not for, it's not a place for us to be permanently. This is some temporary situation. So he's asking us to come back. And he comes in so many ways, even though we wanted to be deviated from him. He comes, he accompanies us as a Paramatma, constantly, all the time with us. He's there in the form of Paramatma, with accompanying us. And not only that, he comes in so many other forms. In this age, he comes in the form of holy name, for us to chant the holy name and come back to him. He comes in the form of the deities. Yeah, in the 11th canto, Lord Krishna himself gives a, the forms of the Lord can be of eight types, can be, in the 11th canto, 27th chapter, I think, verse number 12, he says, the deity form of the Lord is said to be appear in eight varieties. What are they? The stone, wood, metal, earth, paint, mind or jewel. So Lord is he himself saying how he can be worshipped and what are the different things. It doesn't so the Lord has come in the form of the deity form. We were visiting in Jaipur. We stayed at the ISKCON temple, and very beautiful story was told by Pancharatna Prabhu. He was the temple president of Jaipur temple. We visited the temple of Madan Mohan Ji, and then Gobind Ji and Gopinath, and then when we came in the evening, he told us a very nice story of Madan Mohan Ji. Madan Mohan, the deity of Madan Mohan Ji is the deity of Sanatana Goswami, who he worshipped. And in due course, because of the invasion of the Mughals, these deities were taken to Jaipur for protection by the kings. And Radha Govind Ji, Gopinath, and Radha Madan Mohan Ji, they were in Jaipur, protected by the king. They're being worshipped there in Jaipur. So, Madan Mohan Ji was given in charge, the daughter of the king was given a charge to look after the deity of Madan Mohan Ji. And when she got married, she happened to be married to the king of Karoli. I forgot the name of the king. So, because she was worshipping these deities, Madan Mohan Ji, so she was very attached. And she made a request to this king, our father. He said, could I please take these deities with me to Karoli? With me, I'm now married, I have to go to my husband's house. So I would like to take these deities which I've been looking after them for all my life. Please allow me to take these deities. And king was being a devotee, such a devotee, he said, how can you? Deities are deities. They are supreme lord. They're not different. It's not a toy. I can just say, okay, now you can take your toys with you. Mm-hmm. No. King was such a, he had a high, he said no. Then she was insisting, persisting so much. She wanted to take. And he said, okay, let this decision of Madan Mohanji going to Karoli, not my decision. Let the Lord Himself take the decision. So, the king made a condition to this daughter. He said, okay, you can take the deities with you, but I will have the same deities made, same deities carved, made, multiple deities. I'll put them into a room, and then you will not know where the deity is, which one is the deity. If, and you'll be taken into this room blindfolded in the dark, if you recognize this deity of this specific deity, the original deity, then you can take that. That was the condition. So, then this daughter of a king went to the Madan Mohanji and prayed and said, now my father had put this condition on me. I have desire to take you. Please, please, please tell me how I can take you. So these deities come in a dream at night and tell this daughter and said, okay, when you come at night in the room, then when you touch me, the original deity, the scent, the touch will be as you touch your normal body, not as a stone, hard, but normal body. If when you touch me, my body will become that
soft
as a normal human. I mean, in the body. So then, that's me. So next day, that condition was done. The king, and then she recognized the deity. And then, as a curiosity, king asked her, how did you recognize this? Then she narrated the whole story. So then, at that point, king was convinced, okay, this is the Lord's desire to go to the Karoli. So then he finally made this arrangement, the elaborate arrangement to take the deities to Madan Mohanji and Karoli. So the point is that is if we have a sincere desire, if we have the great devotion, Lord comes in so many ways, we can serve, He allows us to serve. And He reciprocates even in the form of the deities. Such is our Lord. Such is our this. And this, everything, all this knowledge is made so easy to understand, made easy to by the grace of our acharyas. How can we understand otherwise? How would we know? We didn't know. These acharyas make us understand. They go through so much austerity and hardships. Our Goswamis, living under the different trees every day. And they have gathered so much knowledge for us too. All that knowledge, what is it for? Ultimately go back home, back to Godhead. All knowledge saying is that this is not our home. let's go back home. These acharyas come and then they do all the work for us just to facilitate that and go home back to Godhead. So, was it like the end here? Sorry, I took a bit of time. So, like, there any questions or comments? Yes, ma'am.
Could you please tell us what is Sankhya Yoga?
Yes, Sankhya Yoga is the, as I was describing, these all the elements, 24 elements, 26, 27, in fact 27. These study of these, all these, the elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, the senses, working senses, karmendriya, gyanendriya, and all that. Study of that combination, these energies of the Lord is called Sankhya Yoga. Studying empirical, not empirical studies, or the study of these elements, the nature, the energies of the Lord. That is Sankhya Yoga, as I understand. Atma, Paramatma, all the elements, the creation, all this combination study, that's called Sankhya Yoga. Any other?
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. We cannot know.
Wonderful.
Even the demigods saying, they cannot understand. Yes. Our little tiny brains, frog-like brains, cannot understand.
Yes.
Yes. What happened to our scholars today? Any questions? Yes.
How does the Lord reciprocate to us?
How does the Lord reciprocate to us? So many ways. When little baby is born, how does he know how to drink? Is it through his brain, through his muscles, through his body? How's a little insect when he's born, he knows how to find another food? That is Lord. Lord from within as Paramatma. That is one of his reciprocation. Yeah. When the prasadam is offered and he makes it into, he turns into a mahaprasad, that is also reciprocation. Yeah. He comes so many ways. He comes in his knowledge, he comes through his guru, Paramatma. Yeah. And he's created everything for us. He's created fruits, grains, water, flower. He's given us so much, sunlight, rain. That is his reciprocation. Yes?
Sun,
that's
moon.
His grace. Huh?
Sun, moon.
Yes, sun, moon. That's how he reciprocates. He provides everything for us. Okay, thank you. Kanchan Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Sarva Bhagavati ki jai.